Eddie Montague joins us. Eddie, how are you today?
Nice. I'm great. Yeah.
We had some clips from the Hall of Famers today. I don't know if you got to hear Bobby Cox.
I didn't hear Bobby's. I heard Maddox.
He talked about Ted Turner and Jane Fonda and hanging out with them. Now, did you ever run into Ted Turner or Jane Fonda?
Both of them in the locker room.
Oh,
they came in, Ted and Jane. Ted would fall asleep over. You'd watch him. He'd be falling asleep over there. And I know one game I almost tossed him because he kept the Atlantic Hawks game. He put it on the big scoreboard and wouldn't shut it off. And the Braves game's going on. And I went over and I said, Ted, the board's got to go off. And he says, no, when it's done. I said, it goes off or I'm pulling the clubs. Yeah, he was a little eccentric.
He was. Right, he tried to be a manager. Remember, he made himself the manager.
Yeah, I remember Terry Tater was the crew chief of that crew.
That lasted one day.
Yeah.
I think he has Buffalo Farms in Montana or something. That's his big
He owns like a million acres of something ridiculous.
Wow.
Something like
that. But, you know, he was always pretty good with us. He was just, like I said, eccentric.
Yeah, yeah. A good owner. He was interesting.
Yeah.
He was part of the story.
Sure.
But Eddie Montague is with us. Eddie Bobby Cox. And, boy, you tell those stories about Bobby Cox. They're wonderful. Deservedly going into the Hall of Fame, one of the greats of all time, but you had your moments with him.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know what? And I always said Bobby's the type of guy, and we used to go nose to nose. We had some good blowouts, and you were talking about him wearing the spikes, and he spiked me one day, and I shoved him off my foot, and we went at it pretty good. But Bobby was the type of guy, I could go nose to nose with him in Atlanta. We parked in the same parking lot, and I could toss him out of the game, and if we were in the parking lot and I had a flat tire, he'd help me change the flat that same day. That's the type of guy Bobby was.
Yeah.
What kind of things would managers, specifically Bobby, say? Now, obviously, you have to use a PG rated, but would you toss him for saying you can't see, or would they go more personal? That what were some of the better insults?
Oh, they get personal, and I'll tell you, how much time do we have?
Well, we got till 5:05.
We had. I tell this story about the first time I had Bobby in San Francisco Candlestick Park. And I had called a balk on Phil Negro, and Bobby came out, and I ended up tossing him out of the ball game. And he had to go back to the visitor's dugout, which was over in the third base side. There was no exit, and then they had to pass me. He had to pass me again to go down the right field line. And as he's passing me and screaming and yelling, he got down the right field line, and we're back and forth at each other, and he says, I'll kick your, you know. And I said, well, you know where the parking lot is.
Yeah.
Well, that infuriated him more, and he got so mad, he went, and there were two big green doors where he exited through. And he went and he pushed in on him, and he bounced back to the foul line because those doors pull out. Now, he went to Toronto to manage, and he came back to Atlanta a couple years later. And we got a big blowout again, but it's with Bob Davidson and Bobby Cox. And they're going at it. Now, I'm the good cop, and I went in to kind of break it up. And I finally got Bobby Cox away, and I said, Bobby, let's go. And he's infuriated. I mean, we're walking down the line. I said, now, remember, when you get down to those big green doors, they pull out.
Okay. I got to ask, Eddie Montague here with us on the Public House patio. Has a skip or has a manager chewing you out ever made you laugh? Ever got you to smile? Ever said something so funny that he got you to crack up a little?
Probably Preston Gomez, one of the nicest guys in the world, and we're in Chicago, and he came out arguing a play, and I didn't want to toss him. He was just too nice a guy. And finally, he said the magic word. He says, Eddie, you son of a gun. Yeah, I said, Preston, you got to go.
Okay.
And I kind of smiled at that because he was, you know.
Sweet guy. Took Clay Kirby out of a no-hitter, though.
Oh, yeah.
After eight innings. He did. He wanted to win the game. And he had a hit for him. He was losing 1-0 at the time.
Wow.
Very famous.
But
Eddie Montague with us. Eddie, Peavy is now a Giant. And you got to see Peavy quite a bit. His Cy Young Award in 2007 with the Padres. Tell us what you remember about Peavy.
Well, you know, he was great to work. He worked fast, and he was around the plate. And he's a smart pitcher.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to give a story I do remember about him is my next-door neighbor, his grandson was dying of cancer and stuff. And they lived in San Diego. And I can't tell you how many times Peavy went out to the hospital to visit this kid. So he's a pro.
No, I agree with you. He reminds me a little bit of Hudson, just the physical stature and coming from the South and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but class act,
Greg Maddux goes into the Hall of Fame tomorrow, and 350-plus wins. One of the great right-handers in baseball history. I don't know if we really appreciate how great this guy is, even with the numbers. you know, you get to 400, it's Walter Johnson. There aren't many between where Maddox is and Walter Johnson. There's the Christy Mathewsons, the Grover Cleveland Alexanders. Greg Maddox, what made him so amazingly effective?
He was one of the biggest competitors. I just saw him the other day up at Tahoe. He was playing in the golf outing out there at the Edgewood, and I saw him, and we talked about, you know, him going into the Hall of Fame. He was saying how nervous he was and all the stuff that he's done in baseball. But he wasn't just a great pitcher. He can do everything. I mean, he could field his position. He could bunt when he needed to put down a bunt. He just... He was a great competitor, and he would compete at everything. They said if you played him at checkers, he'd tear your head off.
But the ball moved, the movement. As an umpire, I just could never give up on it.
When you were working him, you know, how many times I sat back there and said, I could hit this guy. And I imagine a lot of ball players said that, too. Yeah. But he just spotted the ball. Greg was a guy, he'd start off the game, he'd be 6 inches off the plate. You wouldn't give him the pitch. You go 4 inches, you wouldn't give him the pitch. He'd get in about an inch and a half or so. You'd give him that, and he would stay there the whole game.
Wow.
The best control pitcher that I've ever seen.
Wow, amazing.
Quite a character, too. I know that we all think of him as the golfer and kind of the wizard and the professor and all that, but if anybody's read the latest ESPN, the magazine, about locker room culture and clubhouse culture, he was known to haze the rookies a little bit, if you know what I mean.
I never was in that, so...
I can't get too graphic, but let's just say he let the rookies have it a little bit.
He was great to work along with Glavin. Glavin was a little different pitcher. I think Glavin needed you to give him that 4 or 5 inches outside when you didn't give it to him. But Maddox didn't need it. You know, that ball would back up, and he was amazing.
Joe Torre goes in. Now, Bobby Cox, I could see the fiery Bobby Cox chirping all the time. Torre, it looks to me, it sounds like he was probably just the opposite. Sat in the dugout, didn't say a word.
I'll have to bring a couple pictures in.
Really? Okay.
When Joe first became a manager with the Mets, he was a player manager with the Mets, Joe and I went at it. I threw him out his third day as a manager. I was the first to get him in the National League. And I got him about 3 more times that month. And finally, Chubb Feeney says, you got to get off the Mets. I said, I'm not getting off them. And Torre came to me and said, let's start all over. For the next 30 years, I don't think we had an argument.
Yeah.
And a great manager. And like I said to Joe, I think he should be in there as a ball player.
Yes.
Wow.
You know, I mean, he was a terrific player. And that's a great trio, those three managers going
Come
in.
On.
And the only guy I didn't toss out of that was La Russa.
I was going to say, now, you'd never he was with the Cardinals when you obviously umpired.
Yeah, I never had a problem with Tony. And like I said, I didn't have much of a problem later years with Bobby or Joe because you had to establish yourself at the beginning. And they figured out you were nuts, so they left you alone. But Tony, I never had a problem with Tony.
He was a lawyer. And if he came out and brought the rule book, I think you're in trouble.
Might have been, yeah.
Hey, last night we had a play that was kind of interesting. The fan interference or whatever. I was sitting with Andy Baggerly at the time, and we both sort of concluded, well, it's got to be either a double or a home run. But that's not the rule, is it?
No, on spectator interference... it's where the umpires think the player would have ended up. You know, they could have gave him a double, and I really thought he would have had a triple. I mean, you could score him on that play if you think he's coming around third. But it's spectator interference. It's different than a ground rule double.
Now, Bochy came out.
Yes.
And he did argue, and he didn't just come out and say, I didn't hear the ruling, what was it? And I thought if you come out and get into it at all, that you're automatically gone.
Well, he was arguing the placement of the runners. I haven't talked to the guys yet. I haven't been in there tonight. But I'm sure he was arguing the placement of the runners, saying that I'm pretty sure I think Bochy probably said if that ball came clean off the wall, they would have held him to a double.
Right.
I don't know if that's the case. That kid can run.
He could.
Boy, fly.
Yeah, amazing, huh? What's the how's the replay going? I know you're involved every week, and as we said, God, you've been on with us since spring training in the beginning.
Yep.
It is something that is evolving. How's it going this week?
I think everybody's happy with it. I mean, the managers, the players, the umpires are okay with it. You know, you got to tweak it a little bit, and over the course of time, it's just going to get better and better.
Plays at first base getting a little tougher to overturn. You know, the cleat. So to speak, or you know,
they're always tough. I mean, but with these cameras, these slow motion cameras are unbelievable. And and it's like I tell a lot of the umpires. I said, look, the human eye cannot do that. They can't pick that up. You guys are doing a great job. Keep working hard. Keep umpiring.
What?
And, you know, it'll work itself out.
All right. Eddie Montague with us. Eddie, stick around for a second. Let's take a call. Matt Letizia, if you're ready. Let's go to the captain in Yuba River. Captain, you're on KMBR 680. Go ahead.
Captain, my captain.
Hey, Marty.
How are you?
I'm serene. I'm up here next to the river in beautiful Nevada County. And our radio reception is sketchy. So last night we only heard parts of the game, but we heard enough it's my view that, and I just heard part of your interview there, what to do with Puig. It's my view that they should have plunked Puig at his last at-bat. Because that's easy. It's easier than four pitches. It's easier than four balls.
Well, they got him out in his last at-bat,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, hit the ball 387 feet, but they eventually got him out.
You'd rather put him on base, huh?
In that game, considering what happened earlier in the year, considering all that we need in terms of inspiration, and we need this rivalry to be as lively as possible, I think that would have been the call.
All right. Well, you know, I know in the romance of the game, people like that to think you got to do. But, Eddie, you know, here's the guy. Honestly, think about it. Three triples and a double. He's coming up for his fourth time. Do you challenge him? You know, say, all right, let's see you do it again, or do you walk him? I don't know.
What was the score? 7-1?
Eight to nothing. 7-0 or 8-0 at that point.
Something like that.
I mean, challenge him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you were watching history, so you got to tip your cap to him. I mean, it was pretty special to see that last night.
Captain brought up something that I know it's not this weekend, but next weekend the Giants travel to New York to play the Mets.
Yeah.
And I think that everybody expects some fireworks, right? Because Pence got plunked. And so I think, and Mike Kruko said numerous times that he expects the Giants to go back red ass, ready to take on the Mets. Are the umpires made aware of that? Are they given a scouting report ahead of time for something like that?
Every day we get reports. Steve Palermo, it's called a heads-up program, and we get reports every day on problems with clubs, not just this year. If there were problems with clubs last year, that comes out just to keep guys alerted in case something comes up. Because in the old days, you used to go into a series, you know, when I was in the National League and you had 12 teams and you didn't have all this media, and you're going in blind. I shouldn't say that.
You know, an umpire doesn't use that phrase.
That's bad. Yeah. But you're going in not knowing what happened the previous series. I mean, you didn't have that communication. Yeah. And now we have that, and so the umpires are alerted well in advance.
Yeah. Well, there should be some fireworks next weekend, Marty.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. The Giants don't seem to get into fireworks. They just don't seem to do it.
Well, even when Barry Bonds was here, I remember him getting thrown at multiple times by a pitcher in Houston behind his back. And the Giants were just hanging out in the dugout. No.
I don't think Bochy works it that way. No. I don't think Bochy plays that way.
He doesn't. Right. They just try to win.
Okay.
What happens.
Hey,
Eddie, stick around. We'll talk a little Giants-Dodgers when we come back. I wanted to mention Tom O'Doul. And Pat, you mentioned him before. Eddie, you know Tom O'Doul, our good friend who's Lefty's nephew.
That's right.
Cousin, I forget what. But he's recovering from some surgery over at Marin General.
Pretty serious, too.
Yeah, and Dr. Harvey Goldfein, my friend who's the commissioner, I call him the doctor, sent me a text. And I guess, Tom, was he a mailman? Is that his?
I never asked Tom what he did. I thought he was a professional Giants fan.
Well, he's that for sure. But Harvey said he was his mailman, I guess in Corte Madera, if that's possible, Harv, if you're telling, you know, if that's the same guy.
Yeah, it's probably right, yeah.
Yeah, so, Tom, if you're listening, we hope you are, and I hope... Jill, he's not a mailman.
Jill's
he's
the authoritarian.
Jill says he's not a mailman.
He has no radio in the ICU.
He has no radio either, and he's not a mailman. He doesn't even get mail.
Is his name really Tom O'Doul?
Right. Is he actually Lefty's cousin? Yes. Yes. All right. So we wish him well.
Yeah.
But if the nurses are listening, wish him well. He's a good man.
And if I was there, Tom, I'd toss you out of there.
Yeah. You're gone.
All right. More coming up right here. 808 KMBR. Eddie's with us, and we'll talk Giants-Dodgers right after this.